I said, how many believe that he's really worthy? Because whenever you believe that somebody is worthy of something, then that means you'll give him what he's worthy of. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. I wish I had someone who could just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he'd done for you and begin to give him what he's worthy of. I wish somebody would just lift up your hand and just tell the Lord how much you love him. Not because of all the things that he's done, not because of all of the victories won, but just because of who he is. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the soon coming King. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is Jehovah Sikkenu. He is the great I Am. I wish I had a witness here that would just lift up your hands in here and tell the Lord you love him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh Lord, I love you tonight. I love you tonight. I love you tonight. I love you tonight. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up worship tonight. Come on, Greater Brookville. Let's lift up worship to the Lord. Come on, come on, come on.
You are worthy.
I love you.
You are worthy.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him. Let's magnify him.
You are worthy.
Oh, 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 yeah.
You are worthy.
Lift up his name in here, yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You are worthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are worthy.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercy towards us. We thank you, Lord, first and foremost, because you're God all by yourself. And then, God, we come tonight to thank you that last night was not our last night. But early this morning, you peeped over the balconies of heaven. You looked beyond our faults, and you touched us with your finger of love. So tonight, we want to say thank you. We want to give your name the glory, the praise, the honor, the respect that it's due. Because we believe that you're worthy of all the praise. Oh God, now have your way in this place. Move by the power of your spirit. Touch hearts and minds and set the captive free. Lord, you get the glory. You get the honor. You get the praise. If nothing else happens tonight, God, you be glorified. God, we love you tonight and we thank you. Give me preaching power. Not so that men and women might marvel over me, but so that they might glorify you. You're the source of our strength. You're the strength of our lives. And your name alone is worthy to be praised. We thank you now in advance for what you're getting ready to do. For it's in the marvelous and matchless name of Jesus we pray. And we count it done tonight. And all those who love the Lord shouted hallelujah. Shout glory to God. Shout amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. That's all right if it was for me. Let's give him a thundacious applause. Come on, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody ought to bless him in this place. Come on, let's set the atmosphere. Let's make it conducive for the movement of God. God is worthy. Hallelujah. To be praised. We thank him and we bless him tonight because our God is an awesome God. I said, our God is an awesome God. I said, our God is an awesome God. Amen. God is worthy to be praised. So excited about what God is doing and what he's done in our lives and in the presence and in the power of his people. Amen. God is certainly on the throne and he's still in charge of our lives. I don't care what you say. My God is, he's all right. Amen. He's amazing. He's awesome. He's incredible. He's all that in a bag of chips. Amen. And so we thank God for all that he's done and all that he continues to do in our life. Amen. We want to give honor, amen, to the set man, the angel, the pastor, the under shepherd, the visionaire. Come on, help me celebrate Pastor Leroy Mitchell. Come on, come on. Amen. Amen. Thank God for this wonderful man of God who God has placed here at Greater Brookville Church. Amen. And we certainly thank God for the work that he is doing. Amen. He is my friend and he is a jokester. Amen. That stuff he was talking about earlier, ain't no truth to it. Amen. Amen. I am well aware that I'm not here this week because Greater Brookville does not have a preacher. Amen. Greater Brookville has an awesome man of God who preaches the word. Amen. And so we're so thankful just to be a part of this series of services, to be able to come to share in this awesome house of the Lord. Amen. We thank God also for Lady Mitchell. Amen. God bless her. We're so thankful to God for her and this dynamic duo that he's placed here in Lynchburg City. Amen. It's just a blessing to have such a wonderful pastor and first lady. Amen. 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 Thank God for Pastor Younger and, amen, all of the other preachers of the gospel that share this space. Amen. We're certainly thankful for your presence, all of the officers, members, and friends, and everyone who's here. We thank God for you. Come on, let's give it up again for this choir. Amen. Thank God for them blessing us on tonight. Amen. They sure know how to do it. Amen. Amen. Good singing makes preaching easy. Amen. And so we are so thankful for, amen, this great aggregation of music ministry. Amen. I'm not going to hold you long tonight, but there is a word in the gospel according to St. Luke, Luke the 13th chapter. Very familiar passage that we're going to bore you with for about 10, 15 minutes, and then we're going to let you get to your snack. Amen. Amen. Luke the 13th chapter. Luke 13. And beginning at verse number 10. Amen. Luke 13. Amen. You know, I've been, Pastor Mitchell, and we've been talking since I've been here these couple of days. And one thing that we have concluded is that it is best to just say what God tells you to say. Amen. When you do that, you're able to save words. Amen. I used to say a lot of stuff I wanted to say and leave out some of the stuff God wanted to say, and I wouldn't do nothing but end up in a mess. But let me tell you what God told me today to tell Greater Brookville. He told me to tell you that the assignment of the enemy in 2015 for your life has been canceled. Do me a favor and look at your neighbor and say, it ain't going to happen now. It ain't going to happen. Amen. Somebody should have got excited that the assignment of the enemy has been canceled. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. That don't mean it ain't going to be formed. It just means it ain't going to prosper. I wish I had a witness in this place. In the gospel, according to Luke, the 13th chapter, verse number 10, you'll find these words. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk tonight for the few moments that are mine to share from the thought, the theme, or the subject. Things are getting ready to get better. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, things are getting ready to get better. Amen. You know, one thing about life, as I've stated on last night, life is difficult within itself. And the problem that we have in life is that there are so many people who are living beneath their potential. Oh, come on now. You got to understand that there are a lot of you who are not living like really God has intended for you to live. A lot of people live in defeat. They live in discouragement. They live in despair and don't have to live those type of lives. A whole lot of people that I'm talking to, looking at right now, has been walking around with stuff that you really, God did not intend for you to have. And some of you do not have some stuff that God intended for you to have, but because you're living your life thinking that this is all God has for you, you are living beneath what God has destined for your life. But how many know that no matter what comes in your life, if God is for you, he is more than the whole world that is against you. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. The problem that we have is that we've got too many Christians who have come to a place and point in life where they have become satisfied saints. Oh, Lord, y'all looking at me funny. Come on now. One of the worst things for a Christian to do or a believer to do is to get satisfied in their situation, to just think that this is the cross that God has given to me, and I just got to bear the cross that I got. I want to let you know that God does not intend for you to be broke, busted, and disgusted and can't be trusted. God does not intend for his people to walk around in sickness and disease. God has a healing. There is a balm in Gilead. And so you got to understand that people, especially church folk, have to come to the saving knowledge that I can't be satisfied, because whenever a Christian gets satisfied, they get stale and stiff. And whenever you get stale and stiff, you will eventually start to stink. Y'all ain't going to help me. So you got to understand that you can't just be satisfied in your situation. The other problem that we have is that not only do Christians or church folk get satisfied, but they also become scared of what it is that God intends for them to do. Ain't nothing worse than a scared Christian. Ain't nothing worse than a yellow back, scared yellow streak up your back, scared Christian that won't praise God because you're worried about what folk are going to say, won't give your tithes because you're worried about people talking about you, won't sow into the kingdom because you're scared of what's going to happen when you're at home. How many know you can't serve God and be scared at the same time? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound. I wish I had a real church here that would touch your neighbor and say, don't be scared. You can't be scared. Matter of fact, you ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't studying you. As good as God has been to me, I'll praise him right up in your face. I'm tired of folk looking at me like I'm scared and I'm nothing and I'm nobody. God has brought me a mighty long way. Not only do we deal with satisfied Christians, we deal with scared Christians, but we also deal, Pastor Mitchell, with silly saints. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me slow down long through here, because the problem that we deal with in church is we got a whole lot of silly Christians. Silly. They always got something going, always keep something going on, some gossip, rumors, and all kinds of mess and junk going in the kingdom of God. You need to do like Medea said and go somewhere and sit down. I wish I had a witness here that, no, listen, it reminds me of when I was at my first church, Pastor Mitchell. I had this woman call me, and she was the president of this ministry, and she called me and said, "Pastor, we got to do something about Sister such and such. She done gone overboard now." And I said, "Okay." I got kind of scared. I didn't know what was going on. You know, Pastor Younger, when you get those kind of calls, yeah, you worry because you think that there's something going on behind the scenes. You're going to have a call meeting and get some stuff together. I said, "Well, what did she do?" Said, "She had a meeting by herself, and she made a decision without the rest of the people on the boat." I said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy. It must be something major. It must be something that I'm going to have to deal with. Lord, let me lace up my boots. Let me tighten up my belt. Let me pull up my pants, get myself together so I can be pastoral and not scared." And I said, "What in the world decision did Sister such and such make without the rest of the agreement of the other people on the ministry?" Said, "She decided to have red Kool-Aid instead of grape Kool-Aid at the repast." Touch your neighbor and say, "Silly saints." Yeah. Listen, I told her, "I don't care what color the Kool-Aid is, just have some Kool-Aid." So it is. You got to understand, we've got Christians that are satisfied, scared, and silly. This woman, however, she wasn't any of those three. This woman, she had been living in this situation. She had been going through it for a long time. But this woman did something that a whole lot of folk are afraid to do. And that is, this woman had the unction to keep on showing up. Y'all ain't going to help me here. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I ought to get some credit for that. At least I showed up tonight. Yeah, I'm here. Even though the air ain't working, I still showed up tonight." See, you got to understand that no matter what you're going through, no matter what the circumstance, you ought to show up anyhow. Do I have any anyhow saints in the house? You ain't got all the money you want, but you're going to bless him anyhow. You may not be feeling the way you want to feel, but you're going to praise him anyhow. I wish I had somebody can just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, and you ain't gonna concentrate on what you're going through, but you're gonna praise him anyhow. This woman, she showed up anyhow. She showed up in the place of God. And I'm telling you, you got to show up in the place. I wish I had a real church here. She showed up in the place of God. And whenever you show up in the place of God, it replaces you being in the place of your own abode. Because how many know you can't get your real blessing by sitting at home? Y'all ain't going to help me. You got to understand that sometimes you got to press through the issues of your life in order for God to see your faith, in order that he might bless you in the manner that he wants to bless you. Anybody ever just been sitting at home and missed the blessing because you didn't show up? This woman, she showed up to the place of God. And you know, whenever you show up in the place of God, you'll be in the presence of God. Yeah, you got to understand that there's a blessing in being in the presence of the Lord. How many know in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy? In the presence of the Lord, that's when the praises go up and the blessing come down. In the presence of the Lord, that's when I can get my breakthrough, when I get in his presence. Not only did she show up in the place of God, she showed up around the presence of God. She was eventually going to feel the power of God. And how many know that you didn't show up tonight to look at hats and hairdos, but you showed up tonight because you wanted to feel the power of God moving in your situation? Anybody need a healing in here? Anybody need a breakthrough in here? Somebody ought to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, things are getting ready to get better." So it is, so it is. As I hurry tonight, here we see this woman. She showed up in the place of God, around the presence of God. She was eventually going to feel the power of God. But this woman had an issue. This woman had this problem for 18 years. The Bible says she had a spirit of infirmity. She had been going through what I can call a cycle of suffering. You know, in one day and out the next. This woman had a continuous problem. And I'm looking at some people in here tonight that have the same issue. You've been going through the same problem for a long time. Touch your neighbor, say, he's talking about you. Yeah, you know, you come to church and you put on your church folk style. You got your suit and your tie on, your dress and your bag matches, and you look all churchy and like everything is fine and peaches and cream. But the truth of the matter is you toe up from the flow up. You got a problem and you need the Lord to work it out in your life. I'm glad that you showed up tonight. You ought to touch your neighbor and say, I'm in the right place at the right time, because God is able to turn it around for me tonight. Anybody believe that the Lord can do it tonight? Anybody believe that the Lord can make a way tonight? Anybody believe that God can heal you tonight? Anybody believe he can make things better tonight? Somebody holler tonight. So it is. Here, this woman, she had this problem. She had this issue. She had a spirit of infirmity. But let me let you know something. The text really does not say that this woman was infiltrated by demons. It does not say that she was demon possessed. And let's make that clear. But it says she had a spirit of infirmity where it caused her to be bowed together for 18 long years. She had literally something that had latched on to her. She had some excess baggage that she was carrying. She didn't have no demons in her, but she had some demons hanging around her that kept telling her that she was in a worse condition that she is. And I'm looking at some people in here tonight that's got some stuff that has latched on to you, and it is telling you that you're not what you ought to be. It's telling you that you are not the head, you are the tail. It's telling you that you're sick and broke and busted, and you ain't gonna be nothing and nobody. It's telling you some stuff that ain't true. But I wish I had a witness that would holler, the devil is a liar. Yeah, there, yeah. See, you got to understand, the problem with church folk is that we allowed ourselves to be encumbered by too much weight, excess baggage. We're always carrying stuff, problems and issues and concerns that ain't got no business being in the presence of the Lord. Y'all ain't going to help me in here tonight. So you got to understand that when you got too many bags, it will cause you to be overweight. Y'all ain't gonna help me. When you get on a plane, you can't check but two bags. When you go on a cruise, they tell you, don't bring more than two bags, even though I know some of y'all ladies bring more than, y'all ain't gonna help me. But listen, they if you bring too many, they may say that you are overweight, you gotta pay some extra money. But those of us who are Christians, we come to church with 10 and 15 bags and wonder why nobody won't get close to us and don't want to hang around us. That's because you got too much junk in your truck. You ought to touch your neighbor and tell them, get rid of some of that weight. You got to understand, when something latches on to you, it's just like a monkey that gets on your back. If a monkey gets on your back, if you keep feeding it bananas, eventually it's going to turn into a gorilla and be able to eat you up. You got to get rid of it. Yeah, she had something that had latched on to her. And when it latched on to her, it began to limit her. Oh, Lord, yeah, she was limited by what was latched on to her. The text lets us know that she was bowed together and says that she could in no wise lift up herself. In other words, all she saw was the dirt. All she saw was looking down. All she did was have a life of dismal stuff, looking at the dirt. Can you imagine every day having to get up out of your bed and you can't look up at the sunshine? All you can see is what's down. Can you imagine having that kind of attitude that every time somebody tries to tell you something positive, all you can look at as the negative? And that's what we've got in church today. You can never look up and see that God is getting ready to do something in your life because you're too busy looking down and trying to pull other folk down where you are. But I wish I had a witness here that said the devil is a liar. Things are getting ready to get better in my life. I'm in the house of the Lord and the Lord is here. He's getting ready to do something in my life. So it is, this woman, she had something that had latched on to her. It was limiting her. And I'm looking at some people who have been limited by what has latched on to you. Yeah, that's why you don't pay your tithes. Because you got something latched on to you. Yeah, that's why you don't show up to Sunday school and Bible study. Got too much latched on to you. Yeah, that's why you don't sow no seed in the ministry. Because you got too much baggage you're carrying. I wish I had a witness here. That's why you ain't free in worship. You don't never lift up your hands. You always sit there like you've been sucking on lemons all week. Because you got too much that is latched on to you. And you need a loosing. Touch your neighbor and say, you need a loosing. Come on, shake them and say, you need a loosing. You need the Lord to loose you in here. You need the devil to loose you in here. Somebody holler, loose here, devil. So you got to understand that its life is like a rocket ship. Y'all have heard this analogy, I'm sure, several times before, but it'll work long through here too. Your life is like a rocket ship. A rocket ship, when it takes off, it has rocket boosters connected to it. Those rocket boosters are only designed to get the rocket ship to a certain level in the atmosphere. After it gets to the certain level, those rocket boosters have to drop off because they would only hold the rocket ship down and bring it out of the level that it was intended to soar in. Listen, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I may have to cut you off if you keep on holding me back. See, the problem is that we got too many folk that are in our life that are holding us back. We're members of cliques and crews and companies and gangs and folk that don't mean us no good. They're only in our life so that they can signify and go tell all of our business all over Lynchburg. But the devil is a liar. It's time to cut some of the excess baggage. Somebody ought to touch your neighbor and say, I'm through with you now. Now, if you sit next to your husband or wife, y'all fix that when you get home. This woman, she had something that had latched on to her. It was limiting her, and she needed a loosing. What happens next, and I'm almost through. What happens next in the text is really the end of the story. After I say this, I really can give the benediction and we can go on home. The next statement is really the end of the story. This is all that needs to happen in any of our lives. If this happens, everything will be all right. This is the breaking point in this woman's situation. The text says Jesus saw her.
Yeah, that'll work.
I ain't got no more. That's Jesus saw her. Ah, Lord Jesus. Jesus saw her. See, the problem is when we come to church, we come to be seen by men and women. But if we ever get to the point where we come so that Jesus can See, Lord have mercy. Lord, I wish I had a witness here. Somebody ought to lift your hand and say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of a miracle. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I got something I need you to deal with in my life. Deal with me, Lord. Text says, Jesus saw her. After he saw her, he summoned her.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm with you, Doc.
He called her. He said, come here, woman. Come to me. Oh, Lord, y'all missed it. He said, come to me. It's the same come that Jesus used when he said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and will give you rest. What I like about that is that Jesus is saying, I'm not going to entrust your miracle in nobody else's hands. If you come to me, I ain't gonna let no deacon do nothing for you. I ain't gonna let no preacher do nothing for you. I ain't gonna let the choir sing your favorite song. But if you come, I'm going to do it myself. And I'm wondering here tonight, is there anybody here that's got a nobody but Jesus situation? Anybody here need the Lord to show up in your situation and see you for where you are? Anybody need God to turn things around in your life? Somebody holler, Lord, do it for me. The text says, and I'm finished, says, come here, woman. He saw her. He summons her. Then he spoke to her. And you gotta understand that whenever Jesus speaks to you, it's different from when I speak to you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, how you doing? That's all right. But if Jesus speaks to you, he speaks life into dead situation. He speaks light into dark places. Anybody ever had the Lord to speak to you? Somebody holler, speak now, Lord. So Jesus called the woman. When he called the woman, he told her, come unto me. Come here, woman. Notice in the text, it does not say that when Jesus called the woman, it doesn't say that she went to the bathroom and fixed up her makeup. Notice the text does not say that she went in the mirror and tried to make sure her outfit was banging for the Lord. But the Bible says she came to Jesus just as she was. She was weary, wounded, and scorned. But she found, y'all not gonna help me say found, she found in him a rest in place. Is there anybody here tonight that's ever come to the Lord? And when you came to Jesus, you came toe up from the floor up, and God fixed you up. Do I have any witnesses here? Anybody a witness of what God is able to do? Won't he fix it for you? Won't he turn it around? Won't he clean you up? Won't he pick you up? Won't he put running in your feet? Won't he put clapping in your hands? Won't he put joy down on the inside. I wish I had a real church that would lift up your voice and tell him thank you tonight. Somebody say, Lord, you've been good to me. And I just want to take the time to tell you thank you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me a mighty long way. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out of what I was in and putting me on a street called straight. Somebody holler, thank you, Lord. This woman came to Jesus. And when she came to Jesus, come here, Mitchell. The text says that Jesus made contact with her. It says that he touched her. Do me a favor. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Come on, grab him by the hand. And say, neighbor, I'm touching you. And all you can feel is my hand. But if Jesus touches you, it'll be like the songwriter said, he touched me, he touched me, and oh the joy that floods my soul. Is there anybody here that's ever been touched by the Lord? When he touched you, didn't something happen? High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, take a good look at me. Because when God touches me, I ain't going to be the same. I'm getting ready to get better. I'm getting ready to come out of this. God's getting ready to heal my body. God's getting ready to turn it around. Anybody ready? Anybody want it? Shout yeah. Shout yeah. When Jesus made contact, the woman made a comeback. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, take a picture. Get a selfie. I'm getting ready to go higher. I'm getting ready to get better. I'm getting ready to give him a better praise. If you're ready for what God has for you, I dare you to praise him in advance. I dare you to praise him for what he's getting ready to do in your life. Anybody want another level? Well, I wish you would praise him on another level. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Things are getting ready to get better. I got a story to tell, but I'm not going to tell it tonight. Everyone standing to your feet. Lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord even where you are. Listen. Here's what God is saying. Here's what he's saying. He's saying there are a lot of them sitting there that you have spoke right into their situation. You've been waiting on a day where you felt it was going to turn for you. When you know that that's your day, your number has been called, you ought not wait. Pastor Mitchell was talking about the Farmville drivers. If you had something that belonged in Farmville that was going to be beneficial to you, you wouldn't even wait. Some of y'all would be at the lottery office before it opened. I wish I had a witness right there. And tonight the Lord is saying, I'm getting ready to turn things around in your life. But you got to come to me. Ah, Lord. How many know that your blessing tonight is conditional? You got to make one step and he'll do the rest. Right now, with your hands lifted up, it's a universal sign of surrender. If you need God to turn something around in your life, I need you to just come to this altar. Don't worry about who's watching. Don't worry about who's looking. I just need you to come with your hands lifted up. That's a universal sign of surrender that lets God know that you ain't got nothing to hurt him with. If somebody stick you up, they tell you to lift your hands and let them know you ain't got nothing. I wish I had a witness here. come to Jesus. Let him know it's all about him. God wants to use you. But here's the real issue tonight. I know a lot of you can't see this, but let me see, show you what I see here in the text. Is that this woman was really dealing with an issue of unforgiveness. Whew. I know y'all say, you got to explain that, Reverend. Whenever you walk around with an issue, with a problem, with something that you're carrying that has not infiltrated you, it's just around you. It's literally an issue that you could get rid of if you wanted to. Too many of us are in here tonight that are harboring unforgiveness in our hearts. And the Lord has put weights on us because we won't let it go. Not only will we not forgive others, but we won't forgive ourselves. Some people have wronged you. Some stuff has happened in your life, and you just feel like they should have died because of it. But tonight God said, if you just forgive and let it go, I will do some stuff in your life that will blow your mind. You know, the real issue with forgiveness is not the ability to humanly forget it. Because it's almost humanly impossible for you to forget it. Because we always say forgive and forget. Do you know what true forgiveness is? It's the ability to not hold it against the person that did it to you. So what? They owe you $5.73 from 6 years ago. And you won't give them another $2 till they get your $6 straight. The devil is a liar. Touch your neighbor and say, let it go, let it go. God been so good to you, it's time to let that go. Listen, you're going to live a life better if you live a life in freedom. Because a whole lot of you are harboring some stuff against some people and they ain't studying you. They don't even know you harboring it in your heart. So tonight is a night of freedom. He told that woman, woman, you are loosed of thine infirmity. That spirit that's been around you, I'm breaking the bondage of that tonight. And now you can walk around in freedom. You can walk in freedom. You can walk in freedom because I now break that curse that's been upon you. Tonight I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me to tell you tonight, the curse is broken. It's over now. It's finished. That's your past now. Don't even worry about that no more. God got more in store for you if you walk in freedom. How you gonna know you got rid of it? Where you gonna know you got rid of it is how you treat them when you see them again. They gonna know there's been a change in your life by the way you act. Can you imagine how this woman acted when she left the service and Jesus, after 18 years, has now made her be able to straighten up? Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Can you imagine the dance she gave him right in his presence after the Lord had broke the curse that had been on her life? And I'm telling you, that's how you've got to live. Tonight, if you grab someone's hand nearby, grab someone's hand. This is what I want you to do. I want you to look at one neighbor. Look at him. Say, neighbor, if I've done anything to offend you, forgive me. I'm sorry. Let's bury the hatchet. Life is too short. God has more. He's got greater in store for you and me if we let it go on tonight. In Jesus' name, it is so. Now hug that person and tell them that you love him. Hug at least two or three other ones and tell them that you love them. Don't that feel better?